This morning we get to do sort of a Thanksgiving sermon, and the reason that we do is because we've finished with the book of Revelation. And so it seemed appropriate, even though Thanksgiving has technically passed, to do a Thanksgiving sermon because, hooray, we're done with Revelation! And so this morning we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 12. But I hope that this week you have had a great opportunity to give thanks. I think that we are people who need to practice giving thanks because complaining seems to be our native tongue. I think that if we were to be paid for our complaining, we would be very rich people. And I don't know why that is, but it seems like even when we're getting together on Thanksgiving Day for the purpose of giving thanks, it's still very easy to complain. It's easy to complain about physical ailments and hurts and bang-ups. It's easy to complain about finances. It's easy to complain about work. It's easy to complain about housework. It's easy to complain about politics. It's easy to complain about sports. It's just a really easy thing to complain, but it takes practice and effort to give thanks. And so what I'd like to do this morning is focus on Isaiah chapter 12 and sort of get us into a mindset of giving thanks. And hopefully, because we're coming right off of Thanksgiving, we will be able to get there pretty easily. So Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, proclaim that His name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. He starts off by saying, you will say in that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. In that day, in the day of the Lord. Because if you stepped back, right, we can't just jump straight into Isaiah chapter 12, unfortunately. This is a great passage, and it's very uplifting and encouraging, and there are rainbows, and we're smiling, and we just feel like, isn't God good? But we've missed the couple of chapters that were right beforehand. The chapters like chapter 8, where God is telling the Israelites, look, I am so sick and tired of you. I am so sick and tired of your idolatry that you have been ignoring me completely. That you've been neglecting the poor, that you've been neglecting the widows, that you've been setting up all these false gods and worshiping all these false idols, and you've been turning away from me completely. I am so fed up with you that I'm going to bring the Assyrians in. And the Assyrians are going to overrun you. They're going to overflow your banks. You're going to be up to your necks in Assyrians. Because I am so unhappy with you. Suddenly we don't feel like giving thanks, right? When the Lord's anger is turned toward us, we don't feel like giving thanks. When we're so distracted and turned toward other things, worshiping other idols, we don't feel like giving thanks. We don't feel like praising the Lord when our minds are on those things, when the Assyrians are all around us, when we're being attacked. But the Lord says, I'm going to bring in the Assyrians, and the Assyrians come in, and then the Assyrians take it too far. They take pleasure in destroying all of these things, and the Lord says, no, I brought you in to chastise, not to destroy everything. And so you Assyrians, I'm going to get rid of you. I'm going to deliver my people who are turning back to me. There's going to be this one who comes, who brings salvation to God's people. This hope is given in chapters 10 and 11. So that finally the people are delivered by this great one, the Holy One of Israel, who comes in to be their salvation. And then in that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away. That's a great spot to be in. It's a great spot to be in when you feel that the Lord has turned His anger away from you. There may be some of you here this morning who God's anger is still turned toward you. And how dangerous is that? And uncomfortable. It's difficult to give thanks in that place. But when we have God's anger turned away from us, when His salvation comes, when He, instead of giving us His anger, gives us His comfort, that's when we can relax, right? That's when we can rest. That's when we can rejoice and give thanks and say, oh, in that day, I can say, I give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, you turned your anger away that you might comfort me. That you might comfort me. Now, not only is God turning His anger from us, removing His anger from us, but now He is our comforter. That's where we should be all the time, right? Is that when things are difficult, that when we begin to get frustrated, when things aren't going well, then we are finding our comfort, our refuge, our strength in God. He has become our comforter. No longer is He angry with us. No longer is He bringing the Assyrians in, but He is instead bringing us comfort. So that in verse 2 it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. And I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like for you to trust in the Lord? That the Lord God is your salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. Did you know that fear is an indicator of where you're at with God? It's an indicator. I will not be afraid because my trust is in the Lord. And I find personally that there are times in which I become afraid or frustrated or discouraged. And I look at what I'm dealing with currently and I go, I'm not sure I can make it. Things have been tight the last couple of months. Another unexpected expense comes up. I'm just not sure I can make it. And I keep telling myself, I think I can. I'm trying to do the little engine who could, you know, I think I can. All the way up to the top of the mountain. Woohoo! Except I keep getting halfway up that mountain and there's no woohoo. Because no matter how much I'm going, I think I can, I can't. Because my trust is in me. And much as I wish I were still very strong and able and could do everything and could leap over buildings with a single bat, I just can't. My trust must be in the Lord. I will trust in my God and will not be afraid. There's this conundrum that it's the spiritual practice of fasting. This thing makes no sense. I don't like to practice it very much. I much rather prefer celebration and thanksgiving. But there are times at which the practice of fasting is incredibly helpful. And it's at those times when I feel most overwhelmed that fasting is most helpful. When I feel most incapable and unable, that's when fasting becomes most helpful. And it just doesn't make any sense at all. And the reason that it doesn't is because I'm running out of energy and I'm running out of strength. And so my solution to this is to stop eating. And that just doesn't make sense because eating is what gives me strength and energy. But when I stop eating, when I stop to fast, it reminds me how frail and weak I am. It reminds me that God is my salvation. It reminds me that God is my strength. And so when I feel those pangs of hunger, it reminds me I am frail. And I am dependent upon God. I am weak. I cannot do this in my own strength, Lord. And to demonstrate that I believe this is true, I'm going to stop eating and I'm going to just do it in your strength. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. The Lord God is my strength and my song. In Colossians 1, starting in verse 9, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he's telling them about how much he has heard about them and how excited he is for them and about how he's praying for them. And he says in Colossians 1, 9, "And so, from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And then verse 11, "May you be strengthened with all power." May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might. Oh man. May I be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And I start to think about how great and how glorious and how powerful and how strong is my God. The one who created all things with a word. The one who delivered the Israelites, an entire nation, from an entire nation by opening up a sea and helping them to walk across. The one who provided for them while they were in the desert. This is my great God. The one who wiped out all evil with a flood. Gone. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm just going to wash it away. My great and awesome God, may I be strengthened, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. For what? For all endurance and patience. This is my prayer for you. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and all patience. And some of you who understand what I just said, say, thank you very much. For all endurance and all patience? I'm not a patient person. I don't want to endure. May you be strengthened with all power so that you may. Guess what? You get to be patient and endure whether you like it or not. And so may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might so that you may enjoy it. Because otherwise, I guarantee you're not going to enjoy it. And you may not endure. And if you're anything like me, you won't be very patient. So may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is the result then. This is when we joyfully give thanks to our God and Father. When we have come through those things and God has strengthened us. You see, our thanksgiving is dependent first upon our trusting. First, we trust God that He will carry us through, that He will strengthen us, that we will endure because He is with us. Then we get to give thanks. Yeah. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. In the midst of it, we remind ourselves, God is my strength and my song. God is my strength and my song. God is my salvation. I am trusting in Him. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, you've been here through the Revelation series, right? And so when I say, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, you're all thinking of Revelation 22, right? You can just go ahead and nod along. Yeah. Oh yes, of course I am now. Revelation chapter 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. That is going to be a great day! That's the day that Isaiah chapter 12 is referring to. It's the great day of deliverance. It's the day that everything is finished and completed, when we will drink freely from the water of life. And there will be no more sin, and there will be nothing accursed anymore. And in that day is going to be the great day of thanksgiving. Forevermore, the great day of thanksgiving. Where we look back and we say, look at what God has done for us. He has delivered us from our sin. He has delivered us from our trials. He has delivered us from our pain. He has provided us with every good thing that we might rejoice in Him. And in that day, we will sing and we will sing and we will sing and we will proclaim how great is our God. And that is what we are going to be doing on the great day of Thanksgiving. And guess what? We know it's coming. And God has not changed and will not change between now and then. He is the same now as He will be then, when we will be praising Him and thanking for Him for everything that we know that He is doing and has done and will continue to do. And if we know, right, and you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. And with joy you will drink water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, if we know that that is what we're going to be saying then, in that day, that's what you're going to be saying. Then what are you going to say today? What are you going to say today, knowing that that's where you're going? I know sometimes you forget. So sometimes you don't remember that that's where you're going. Sometimes you forget that that's where you're going to end up. Sometimes you get distracted because of the stuff that's going on right now, and you forget that that's where you're going, and you're going to be saying, I will proclaim and I will be thankful and God is my strength and my song. And right now you're a little distracted and you're going, oh, this is not very good. I wish it was better than it is right now. and we get into our complaining. Can you believe what is going on with our nation right now? I can hardly stand it. I could hardly stand. Do you know what happened to me on the way here this morning? I got cut off. It is like Oregonians don't know how to drive in the rain anymore. 1 month of sun randomly in November, and suddenly nobody knows how to drive anymore. It's so easy to complain when we're not thinking about what's coming. It's so easy to complain when we're not thinking about what God has done. He already gave us His Son. He's already won. We're waiting for it to be culminated in that great day, but the battle's already been done. He is our deliverer. He is our strength. He is our song. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, proclaim that His name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. That's what you're going to say in that day. Do you see the two parts of this chapter of Isaiah 12? The first part, you will say in that day, and it's all the things that you will say that you're doing, right? I give thanks to the Lord, for you were angry and you turned your anger from me, that you might comfort me. I will trust in the Lord. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my salvation and my strength and my song. These are the things that you're singing in that first half. These are the things that you're saying in that first half. This is what I will do. This is what I will do in that day. This is what I will do in that day. Then look at what happens in the second half, starting in verse 4. And you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Now, who are you talking to? In the first part, you're sort of talking to yourself. And I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to be doing this. Now you're talking to somebody else. You're commanding somebody else, encouraging somebody else to give thanks to the Lord, to call upon His name, also to trust Him, to make known His deeds among the peoples, to proclaim that His name is exalted. You're going to demand that people sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. You're going to yell at people, shout and sing for joy. O inhabitant of Zion, this is who? O inhabitant of Zion, shout and sing for joy. You are going to shout it and proclaim it and encourage one another. God's people telling all of God's people to tell all of God's people how great God is and all of the stuff that He has done. And so here I am this morning, one of God's people, yelling at you, God's people, to proclaim to one another how great is our God. How faithful and how strong is He. I don't know all of your stories, but I know some of your stories. And just looking around this room, I can think of God's salvation. I can think of God's strength. I can think of God's faithfulness in you, let alone the stuff that I know that He's done in me. And we ought to encourage one another with these things. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. How great and awesome is our God, our salvation and our deliverer. Okay, here's what I want to do. I didn't give you any warning at all. For that, I apologize. Don't complain. Be strengthened in Christ. But what I'd like for you to do is to take just a couple of minutes. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And you can talk to the person next to you. You can talk to the person behind you. You can talk to the person in front of you. But I want you to turn to the person next to you and I want you to share your thanksgivings. I want you to share the faithfulness of God. You've got only 5 minutes, okay? It's all I can do. But I want you to share with each other the faithfulness of God so that when the worship team comes back up here, you are encouraged by each other's stories and we can give thanks and praise Him together. Okay? So I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Ready? Go. Okay, that was your 5 minutes. I'm hopeful that 5 minutes was not enough time and that you will continue proclaiming the faithfulness and the greatness of God to each other, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to anyone who will listen, because we serve a great, great and awesome God. And let's now give Him thanks and our praises. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.